You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 13. Gospel of John and chapter 13. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. So deal with us. We've opened thy word. Spirit of God, thank you that you would able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think in outworking all of your wonderful plan, purpose, all the things you have in mind, even this hour, and all that lies ahead. God, we're looking to you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, remember, John is the last living apostle. He's writing at the end of the first century, and in his writing of it, his whole wonderful purpose in God's wisdom is to present the sacred and secular history that has taken place. So that, what's it all about? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. How are you going to end? It's all about God, start to finish, all about God. And so the Gospel of John is going to present God in the person of Jesus Christ in 21 chapters to tell us and make it clear that God is exactly who he is always and forever. And we need to know and understand and honor him. Now, having said that, now we're looking at chapter 13, 14 through 17. We started in John, chapter 13, moving along. And in John, we have found that he is in the upper room, or he is having a very private, personal session with his 12 disciples, apostles ultimately. And he's having it. Judas has gone out, as we shared together. And in the process, all of the 13, 14 through 17, it's all about preparing the disciples, the 11, to be able to go forward without him after Calvary's cross to represent him, which is the main purpose of the church, to show forth the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are to show that he lives, an empty tomb, but not an empty heart. Now, so in the light of that, in the light of that awesome movement, Judas has gone out. We shared together last time, chapter 13, and in verse 30. And he then, having received the sop, the piece of morsel from the table, he went instantly out the door, and it was night. It was already night, but now it's really night. He's gone out of that room where the light of the world is, and he's gone out into the night, already night, but dark, the power of darkness. Darkness, we shared it together. The awesomeness of everything going on without God, doing everything possible up to the crucifixion, to eliminate God, to get God out of the picture, to turn out lights because men love darkness rather than light, to do everything possible. So now we come, that's an awesome movement. To understand that, you need to understand verse 31 and verse 32. So I'm going to take a minute and get that straight. You won't appreciate verse 31 and verse 32 unless we give ourselves a little help. Thus, chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in the context, verse 30, 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son, now, right now, at this time, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." The Lord Jesus Christ is going out, the light of the world, and he's going into the dark, the power of darkness, the rulers of darkness. He's going out into the night, crucifixion. God is going to cover it with a shroud of darkness in those last 3 hours. Going to cover it. Wow. Now, and thus A, verse 31, Jesus, the Son of Man, is gone out into the night, and he's going to be glorified. Hang on to that. Secondly, and God, verse 31, is glorified in him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is gone out. He's going to be glorified. And when he is glorified, God is going to be glorified automatically. Now, verse 32, if God, and first class, it is, it's first class, it's true. Since it's true, not a question of maybe, it is true. If, and it is true, God be glorified in him. Is God going to be glorified in him? Absolutely. Verse 32. God shall also glorify him in himself. So God in Christ on the cross. And when he does that, God says that whole business of the Son of Man, crucifixion, all of it, where does it belong? It belongs in his wonderful person. God's infinite, wonderful person. It all belongs to God. Hang on to that. And shall straightway, immediately, instantly glorify him. So when he goes to the cross, it's an awesome thing. Awesome event from the foundation of the world. Awesome. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over if you would, in your thinking, when you have the word glory, there's the Old Testament word glory, and when you have the Old Testament word, you want to think of the things, remember, worth, something worth, worthy, and weighty. Something weighs a lot, it's worth a lot, it's worthy. Helps you with the word glory, Old Testament. Now, so it has to do with this wealth, worth, weight, value. Over, if you would please, to get that, as you know, first place, over to Genesis, verse 2, 13:2. Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Now, there's the first place in your Bible where the Old Testament word glory is. And it's telling, if you looked at Abraham, remember he had no army, but boy, God had given him everything. And like I said, if you were out in the West in some places where they have the big cattle ranches and you've been in them and seen the big spreads, and you go there and this, wow, you need binoculars. It's all theirs. They said, this is all mine, all the cattle, all everything. It's mine. Wow. Abraham is rich, wealthy. When you look at Abraham, his glory, that which demands attention, that which you pay attention to, his wonderful person. Abraham is so wonderful, glorious, that everything around him shows Abraham's wonderful, makes a wonderful impression, as we shared, demanding recognition. Now, having said that, glory, preciousness. Now, when you come to the New Testament, that Old Testament word, glory, becomes and flavors it from being very subjective to being very objective. And it isn't all glory, it isn't all this way inside, it's all about outside, the glory. God, glory, grandeur, greatness. God's wonderful person and presence. God's majestic person. All of that is found and shows forth in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, in his wonderful perfection, perfect humanity, perfect deity, perfect God, his wonderful person. His whole ministry, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory, the only begotten of His Son, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is to bring to us so that we can see, understand, and come to grips with, in our humanity, His wonderful person. God made us in His image and likeness to know Him. Now, we said that. So God's glory, it's wonderful. It's all God as to His glory. Everything is belongs to Him. There's nothing He needs outside for His glory, His wealth, His worth, His weight. God needs nothing on the outside whatsoever. And He doesn't need any time. His glory is intrinsic. It's eternal, internal. That means it is forever. Forever, no beginning and no ending. God is God. And in His wonderful, wonderful being, He is perfect God. God, nothing is missing. Nothing is needed in any way, shape, or form. God, the Creator, the Savior, God in His awesomeness. Now, hang on to that. God's awesome person. And God is one of everything he does is for His own glory. Who can understand God except God? How can anyone appreciate God except God Himself? God is God. Now hang on. You think about these things. Now God, here we are living, and we're coming and go. We have our little world that we see, senses, touch, taste, smell, and we have all of that we do. And all of it is there, but actually in the middle here, there is thousands of worlds and universes, thousands, millions. Now, and God, do you get bored? We're in the presence of God. Now, God, what about it? It's a long way to the sun. Over there, God, we only can see a little. But God, everything is alive. And we have, in our science and understanding, are learning many, many things. Here's a little flower. And the little flower is an awesome thing. And God made many, many, many flowers. And all of them are different. And all of them are intricate. And to study them, to be a flower inspector, to go and study. The rest of your life you'd have to study. And you'd have to get one of those microscopes like you see tonight. 500,000 times. Microscope. 500,000 times. Imagine how, wow. So another world, a little world on top of someone just did it for me in my house to remind me they had a book about bugs. And they reminded the little book about bugs. It's for kids, children, a little kid's book, bugs. And telling them, and it had this big bug in the picture in the book. And the big bug in the picture was to understand that bug was on their eyelid. Hundreds of them, all over the place. That little bug was living. And they had to read about the bug and the claws and everything. Wow. And so are your eyelids, full of bugs. No offense. They're full of bugs. Your whole body is. Back every square inch of your body loaded with life. God, you live in the middle. Everything is in you, and everything is alive and awesome. Birds, beasts, fish, stars, dust, angels, everything. God, what a world you live in. All of it is what? Showing your wonderful creativity. Every snowflake, every grain of sand, every bug, bird, little bugs, big bugs, all marvelously, marvelously made. God, do you have one interesting creation? We can't even touch it. You live in it. You live in the coming and going, and especially of humans, their activity rising and falling, etc. Now, having said that, what is it about? It's all about you, God. It's all about you. from start to finish. You're the creator and you're the redeemer. And therefore, it starts and ends with you. So God, what are you trying to tell us? Do you understand? Before the foundation of the world, I planned and programmed in my wonderful person our Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying on the cross. I planned it. It's a major event. When he goes out into the night, God is glorified. It's all about God's wonderful, wonderful person. Now, having said that little bit, and so God, here we are looking and looking to you. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I may, in the light of God's wonderful person, over if you would to Ephesians, doing it a little different way. God is an awesome God. It's all about God. All about God. It isn't about flowers. It's about birds. The birds and flowers only reflect God. People reflect God. They're to know God and honor God. When everything is done, God, it's about you. That's right. It's about me. Now, that's not bad. He's the only creator, and he's the only savior. Now, who else is he going to share it with? Who is he going to say? There's no other God. There's no one anywhere except him. Why shouldn't he express himself, which is what he does? Think of Psalm 19:1, and you don't have to turn there. The heavens declare the what? The glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. Wow, it's all about you, God. That's right, that's right. Everyone's busy, 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 busy on planet Earth doing, but they forgot it's about me and who I am. And God, you're trying to help us. You're trying to help. That's what the apostles are going to understand. They have an assignment to represent God's wonderful, wonderful person. So back over, if you would, as we shared, in Ephesians. And in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now remember now, we're in a subject that everything is for the glory of God. Everything is about God. So it's about God. So when we're in it, we're where it is, and we're trying to go and get what? To get some help to understand what you're saying in John chapter 13, 31, and 32. He said, you understand? Judas goes out into the night. The night, night. Night, night. Not night, night to go to sleep. Night. Night. Evil, dark, the power of darkness. Do you understand? God, you're doing all of this wonderful, wonderful work to glorify yourself, which you had in mind before anything was created. So God, I want to understand that, because it isn't about Judas. It isn't about the 12. No, think of Acts chapter 2. God, it isn't about the devil. God, you, before the foundation of the earth, decreed his death. Acts chapter 2. You had it in mind. So all the rest, all the pieces come together to show a wonderful, wonderful God. In the darkness, how bright the light shines. Wow. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the prayer, God's wonderful desire, is that we would understand the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. How so? By way of the Father of glory. He's the source. It's all about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. A wonderful, wonderful person showing himself in a most awesome way. Always so, but we're able to discover it as time goes on, uniquely, all of the wonderment of everything because of our ingenuity, etc., etc. Now, having said that, chapter 1 and 17, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. He's the Father of glory. Now, we're looking now. So what's all the bugs, birds, flowers? Ah, all of that's going to disappear. New heavens, new earth, all gone. What are you doing, God? I'm taking a whosoever that would believe and saving him to the uttermost. I'm taking a whosoever that would believe, and I'm going to go, and because he's going to rest in my Son, and I created him for my glory and honor. I designed him so that when I look at a human, I see myself like in a mirror. When I look in the mirror, likeness, image. When I look in the mirror, a direct image, I see myself. God says, I see myself. That's what we're for. Wow. And God, your inheritance, that's right. But Israel, you know, Israel turned its back. But God, in your grace, here we are, and we are to be, the end of verse 18, to the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So God, you've got something wonderful. You don't have a flower. You don't have a dinosaur. You don't have a kangaroo. You have us. Earthen vessels for his glory and honor. That the power and the wonderment is not of the vessel of dust. It's the God in them who transforms them, transplants them into the kingdom of his dear Son, does something awesomely wonderful. It's your inheritance, God. And so what are we doing? We're to be humans for the glory of God. We're just us, flesh and blood, but we have a unique relationship. We're to honor him, and he's going to honor us. When you honor Christ, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive God. When you receive God, you receive Christ. You have a unique personal relationship to God. Think of all the wonderful truths of when you read, you're not far away. Turn over to Galatians, hang on to Ephesians, and go over to Galatians. In Galatians in chapter 1. And you'll recall, as you come to the end, the conversion of the Apostle Paul. In chapter 1, Galatians, verse 24 in particular. And what did the people do? They glorified, there's your word, they glorified God where? In me, said Paul. God in me. You can say Christ in you, that's right. But it's God in you. No, that can't be. But it is. But it is. No one believes it. That's why the church has got no testimony today. We've lost the wonderment and awesomeness of what God does in saving us. He makes us fit vessels for the master's use. Over, if you back over to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, you'll see it. I'm just, well, it's your own, I read and read and read. It's going to say the same thing over in one wonderful way after another. Ephesians chapter 1, picking up please, in verse 6. To the praise, we are to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. You're saved by grace. Grace, that's right. And it's a glorious thing to be saved by grace. It is. Why is it grace? Because it's grace means all of God. No works, no human, anything. It's all of God. Grace. You're saved by all human effort cannot save itself. No flesh shall glory in my presence. It's all of grace. To the praise of the glory, verse 6, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. God, it's all about that. It's all about you. That's right. And a wonderful thing. So when Christ goes out in that into the night, the garden, the trial, the trauma, and everything that's awesome, bad, horrible, that death on the cross, it's all for your glory, God, so that we could know you. We who are nothing and nobodies. Dust we are, and dust we go back to. God, you have made it awesomely wonderful to know you. Glory. What are you going to tell the disciples in the upper room? They're all going to be sad. Sad. We're all alone. God isn't going to leave them abandoned, as you know. Now, picking up, please. If I can, just keep going. Chapter 3. In chapter 3. And you pick up again all over the place. Chapter 3. May I go to verse 16. That he would grant, a prayer again, grant you according to the riches of his glory. Why couldn't we just say glory? Why do you keep saying riches of the glory? The riches of your inheritance in the saints. Glory. What is it? Just glory? Is it just a flower? No, it's an awesome flower, God. It's an awesome thing. That's right. It's an awesome, we're just nothing. But all of a sudden, God, we begin to think about everything and see the intricacy of a simple snowflake. And we begin to marvel that you made us in your image and likeness. And begins to dawn on us that it isn't about what we see in the mirror. It's about you, to know you. That's what it's all about. The whole thing, from start to finish, is to be able to honor you, our Creator, and our Redeemer, our Savior. And to be able to live on planet Earth, to live a special life, an ordinary life, in an extraordinary way. That's awesome, isn't it? An ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's what it's all about. You don't hear it in the news. You don't read it very many places, and people don't talk about it because they don't understand. They're trying to make God man-sized, and they try to keep God down to our level of thinking, and we fit God in a little box, and we're able to talk about God. Everyone has a little box of what they think about God. But God, we can't do that. No. We have to allow you to be God-sized, not man-sized. Wow. So, chapter 63 and 16, and God sliding down verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Wow. And sliding down, wonderful, verse 19, And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge beyond our understanding and feeling, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. God, it's all about you, God, from start to finish. You want to keep reading, and you're going to try. You can't make it something else because it's about him. And verse 19, now and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. One word after another, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working, dynamite that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. So what are we sitting here for? To be able to honor and exercise our little heart and mind about a wonderful God who saves us in his presence. Out there in the street, we forget all about it. Watching this and doing that, we forget. God is all full. The sky, the sun, the moon, the stars. It's all about you. To give you credit for being who you are. He that cometh to God must believe that what? He is. Hebrews 11:6. You must believe that I am. Where are you? Out there in space? No, I'm here. I'm always present in my wonderful person, in all of my wonderful glory, and the whole universe of life is bubbling and moving all around. And I'm in the middle of it. It's my creation. And we just don't even understand. Wow, we get so bored. And life is dull. You know, I have to go to the same job. I eat the same food in the refrigerator. Wow. I wish there was something to do. I wish there was someone or something that would be exciting besides watching so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, there is. Just understanding your heart beating. You're able to think and understand and enter in by way of thought to the marvel of the existence, your existence, having eternal life in a most super-duper way. Now, having said that, over if you would please, to 1 Corinthians. I'm just chatting and trying to get you to think about it. Because we don't think about it. We don't do it. Just isn't done. We sort of plow along and you're trying to compete with the world system. The world system is always able to outproduce and outgrandeur you. But it can't outproduce and can't outgrandeur God. That's why you don't have a whole lot of hoopla. Why? God. Think about, that's why the big red and blue lights and everything. No. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet. And then just look at the trees, the bugs, the birds. And you begin to, not your smartphone. Wow. Now, 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 3. God, it's all about you and about when we receive the Lord as our Savior. You know, without turning there, Colossians and 1:27. That great, awesome mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. I'm waiting to take it. To what? To see my glory. I'm waiting. I'm coming. I'm waiting for whatever. What's the excitement, God? It's to see my glory, the wonderful glory. You don't even know what you have. My glory I give unto you. John 17:22. You don't even know what I gave you. I gave you my glory, the glory of the Father. I gave you that to handle your hard things, easy things, muddy things, awesome things, to just do life. I gave you that, a relationship, to do the ordinary, having an extraordinary relationship to the living and only God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in them, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world, or the death, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. You're back to John 31 and 32. God said, listen, you understand? It's all about me. In Christ, going to the cross, into the night. That's why Judas, that's why the devil, that's why the Romans, that's why the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's because I'm trying to show you, no matter how evil, dark anything is, you have to see it in the light of who I am. And all of a sudden, it shrinks. And the big, big monster shrinks in the light of who I am. I need to see that. So I honor that. Now, so thus, over 1 Corinthians, right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. You know, if you're saved, if you know the Lord as your Savior, well, than what I need to know. Verse 19, what know you not? I ought to know that your body, physical head, eyes, ears, nose, toes, that your body is the temple, dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. When you got saved, that's how you got saved, born again, which you have of God, and you are not your own. No, you're bought with a price. Verse 20, you're bought with a price. Therefore, then I'm not my own. No, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Honor him. Honor him. Honor him. You want some orphan out there? You want some wandering, broken off branch? You're to be a branch that is abiding, resting in the wonderful person and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to do so in a most awesome. Why is it awesome? Because it's ordinary. Chapter 10. We have a life, a simple life. We do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. You know it. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. So we can have lunch together to the glory of God. Same people, same water, same hamburger. They're all lined up. The only difference is you're saved and you're able to go and be recognized that God, remember God showed himself. How did he think of all those things? God, how do you show yourself after the resurrection? He's over there cooking breakfast for them while they're out trying to get fish for breakfast. And he said, hey, listen, guys, how'd you do? They did terrible. God said, listen, I want you to know. Touch me, Thomas, John 20. Touch me. Put your hand. I want you to, I'm real. I'm real. You're real. Being saved is real. Knowing God is real. God is real. Don't get locked out of all the wonderment of it's the evidence, Romans 1, 20 and 21. All creation, God the creation, bears witness to who you are in the almighty power, power. Who on earth could create all kinds of zillions of zillions and zillions? That's pretty big, almost the government's there. Zillions and zillions and zillions of life created in such a variety. God, no one, that's you. That's you, dude. You do that. That's right. And I'm part of that. You're part of that. If you're saved. It's an awesome thing. And God said, boy, what a life you had a hard, no, it had to be. John 16, Matthew 16, I must go where? I must go to Jerusalem and suffer, be buried, and rise again. Do you understand? I must do it. It's required. I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you. Didn't ask me. You never asked anybody. No. It had to be done for my glory and my honor. Hell is prepared for my glory and honor. Heaven for my glory and honor. A new heavens and new earth for my glory and honor. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and chapter 10, verse 31, and whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God, here we are looking to you to outwork all of your wonderful will. Therefore, just a little taste. John chapter 14. Just to be, all kinds of ways, it all comes together if you want to do it and understand it and enjoy it. Otherwise, we're just being church people. Who wants to be just church people? You know, we go to church. Good. We don't do other things. Other people do this and that. I go to church. That's very good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you, anyway, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if I may go, please. If I can. In verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father, Father of all glory, may be glorified. Where's the Father going to be glorified? In the Son. Where's the Son? In the believing heart. If the Son isn't in the believing heart, John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. No life. So you got to have the Son. If you have the Son, then you have the Father. And then you're going to ask, in the light of your relationship, what are we doing, God? We're seeking to carry on the business. We're in the business. We're in your business. We're in the family business. Wow. The biggest business in forever. You have brought us into the family of God. Our Lord has done that. So that we're in the business. And thus, whatever we ask, we're asking, and God, you're going to answer to what? To the glory of God. Not about us, it's about you. It's about you showing your wonderful state and person in every way. Chapter 15. In chapter 15, picking up, please. You know the abiding. I'll read verse 7, a little context. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. It shall be done unto you. Wow. Now, for what reason? Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. It's all about you, God. About your glorification. About you being who you are. That's right. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. So God, you're looking for us to honor you in every way, shape, or form, to give you all the credit, to give you all the credit that is due. It belongs to you in a most wonderful way. So God, the glory of your wonderful person is right. The glory of your wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ. The glory of your wonderful person in Christ Jesus in the believing heart. That's it. Wow. And God, it's all about that. That's right. So it's about having a relationship to you. The glory belongs to you in the first place. Our being saved and transformed, conformed to the image of your Son. That's you. You do that. To be like you, God. That, God, it has to be. So in the light of the dullness and boredom and deterioration, a physical body perishing. But it isn't about our physical body. No, the physical body has to perish the same as Judas has to go out and betray him. Flesh and blood what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No flesh, 1 Corinthians. No flesh what? Should glory in my presence. Do you understand? It's about me, said God. And you learn to look to God. Thus a little poem. I would not ask thee why my path should be through strange and stony ways thou leadest me. I would not ask thee how loss worketh gain, knowing that someday soon it shall all be plain. My heart would never doubt thy love and care, however heavy seems the cross I bear. And now would I, Father, ask my lot to choose, lest seeking steadfast ease thy best I lose. Giver of every gift, thy choice is best. All-wise eternal love, in thee I rest. Yielding to thy wise hand, safe in thy will, not asking why or how, let me be still. Looking on things unseen, by faith I see, glory exceeding great worketh in me. And as I look at life around me, I look at my own heart, look at the world, look at that by way of your word. I begin to see what it's about. I begin to see what it's about. It isn't about career or government or children or marriage. No, it's much more than that. And if I get locked into the little things, I lose the big thing. It's all about your little life being His for His honor and glory. Our Father and God, we look to You with thanksgiving as we bumble along. Thank You very much for caring. Thank You, God, that we can even make an attempt to consider the awesomeness of who You are, of Your creativity, Your exceeding, awesome, unlimited, beyond, transcending wisdom, beyond all that we can ask or think. All we can do is bathe in the middle of it and learn to know and honor You the more, appreciate You the better, and be thankful in every way that we belong to You, to the praise of the glory of Your grace. Thank You very much. Thank You indeed. And for those who know You not as Lord and Savior, God, Spirit of God, convict, convince, that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive You as their Savior. And our Lord, we're going to thank You very much. In Your name we ask it. Amen.